Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host.
Who wants to get badgered?
I don't know. What do you think is better, Satish? The badger or we control the balls, people?
I don't think I have a choice here.
Well,
I vote badger.
Way,
we control the balls.
I lost.
We control the balls. From Birmingham to Montreal, we control the balls.
Guys, I figured it out. We control the balls.
Now he gets it. Oh, you guys.
Our lives are filled with lots of fun, but there's nothing like a hole in one.
Can I go now?
Never!
No.
I have to be honest. So that's our opening for tonight. Everyone who knows, you know, we always play some kind of song as our opening. That's our opening for tonight. I have to be honest. I always remember that ending part. But still, hearing it each and every time and seeing it in my head, it's such a beautiful thing. And the guy who enjoys theater.
The part that gets me is just like, yeah. Oh, I get it. We control the balls. And I'm like, why did he put so much emphasis on that? Because you can really hear him just, I get it. We control the balls. And I'm like, that was on purpose. You bastard. But, hey, so tonight we're doing Gravity Falls Season 2, Episode 5, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken. And this was a very interesting episode. There's a lot to talk about. And, of course, if you want to jump in and talk to us about something fun in the episode, you know, usually Gravity Falls and some of our other shows are a bit more free-flowing than our Monday Night Raw podcasts, you know, call in. We would love to hear from you guys. Our number is 718-664-9468. Again, our number is 718-664-9468. And also, Satish, tell them about our really cool call-in feature.
Righto, so when you call 718-664-9468, you actually have a few options because you can call in that number to, again, talk to us, get on air. If we're talking about something that piques your interest, just hit the one button. We'll be alerted here on our dashboard, and we can put you through. But if you don't want to talk to us immediately, you can actually just call in to listen to us, which is very convenient for you and for us, just in case your internet is down or not, you know, you're not available to use it right now. And the hitting the one button is not a hard and fast rule in terms of doing it immediately, meaning that if you call in just to listen and then something comes up that you want to say, you can hit the one button at that point in time, and we'll get the notification right then.
Yes, exactly. So you hit the one button, we'll know that you want to talk. You don't hit the one button, you can easily just keep on listening in. And hey, again, if you click the one and we put you in, we can still put you back in the listening section, and it won't matter because, you know, you're listening. We like you listening. It's good. No trouble for us. Keep on listening. So, yeah, the episode itself, how would you rate this episode?
You could insert a gif of Giffany's sparkling eyes here as my feelings towards the episode.
Yes.
Throughout the episode.
No.
Where it started off
well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then really sparkly, and then ponies and sunshine and sparkles out of 5. That was basically it for me.
Yeah. If it's out of 5, 5 out of 5. If it's out of 10, 10 out of 10. Because this episode, I mean, especially when I have to admit, when it first started, I was a little bit thrown off. Reggie, while being the poor man's version of Seuss, which was hilarious,
yes,
wasn't Reginald, who we saw in the episode with the Loch Ness Monster type Scuttlebutt Island and all that stuff. And it was very upsetting to me at first split second, but then it's kind of fun because we did see Reggie later in the, you know, in the, in the Mystery Shack. So in a way, it's like they knew what they were doing. Like, I don't feel like it was just the idea of, oh, we'll forget about him. No, he was prominently there. Like, he didn't have a speaking role, obviously, but he was there. Like, he wasn't just non-existent. So it's like they knew what they were doing, but they really wanted to just make the joke of the fact that it's literally Seuss, but not.
Yeah, no, it just made me laugh, where it was like, how can we make Seuss a little bit more stereotypical? Give him more of an accent and add facial hair, but, like, cheesy-looking facial hair. Got it.
Right.
So it was kind of fun to see that. I mean, I just kind of laughed because of the whole body model thing. Like, of course, Seuss's cousin would look exactly like him, but with facial hair.
Right, exactly. No, it was just very funny. And, of course, we then have it follow up with his abuelita saying you know, just, oh, I want you to get married before I go up to, you know, to live with the angels. And then, like Grandpa, or with Grandpa, too. No, he is not there.
That line caught me off guard.
She looks down, too, by the way.
Yeah, she looks down, and it's worse, because you sit there, and you're like, way to save it, the grandfather's in hell. Thanks for that. As if the season hasn't gotten dark enough. And for, you know, this episode promised to me to be something that was supposed to be funny, and although it was funny, it was a lot creepier and darker than I thought it would be.
It's, I mean, you know what? We'll just bust that out of the way right now. The idea, I really feel like in this episode, they walked up to the census, and they found out a lot more that they could do compared to before. Where I feel like before, you know, the censors either lied to them or went really hard or said, oh, no, you can't use this. But then after a while, they just said, you know what? I mean, either you're making money or just the fact that, all right, you know what, you can be a little bit more lax. Because, I mean, they are on cable. It's just that, of course, it's Disney. So that's a little bit different, too. Maybe the fact that they're on XD, which is a bit exclusive, maybe they assume, oh, if it's going to air there, maybe we can have a bit more on it. You know,
I heard they're pulling in about $2 million a week on XD, by the way.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
I've heard they're pulling in about 2 million viewers per week on XD, by the way.
Oh, interesting. I heard 0.9 for this week. I heard it was less on XD. I heard that it was, granted, it could just easily be, you know, you probably heard more than I have, but I heard it was less on XD because, of course, XD is a very exclusive network.
Oh, yeah, I mean overall for the, like, weekly meaning, like, between XD and then the retread on Disney later on in the week, I think they're pulling in about 2 million.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense because 1 million on the Disney Channel and then, like, under a million or up to a million on...
Yeah, because you think about it, you know, you got XD being a little bit exclusive, you get your million viewers. Disney, you get your million viewers based on the, you know, the virtue that it is Disney, and you lose a little bit only because of the fact that it is a rerun. So not everybody
exactly.
May. And usually a rerun on a Friday night, which is a little bit harder to catch, you know, people to sit down and watch TV compared to a Monday night. And that is, of course, not taking into account people like me who watch it on demand.
Right, exactly, and some people like me who sadly can't even catch it there, who, you know, who could, because I now have Amazon Prime, could actually look at it through Amazon Prime. So it's another
kind
of on-demand service. Yeah, or, you know, other means that some may, you know, go through. Because, hey, it happens. You know, sometimes you're not there to catch it and et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes your on-demand service might not have it. Or you might not even have on-demand. So I think on-demand is pretty, like, much a thing now in most cable companies.
Yeah, I never
at least
used
here.
To have it with Dish Network. It may be that we didn't pay for it or that they just weren't up to date at the time, but I didn't have on-demand. And it was a bit depressing, and it wasn't as bad for me, depressing-wise, until I got Fios and realized all these years how much I was missing out by not having on-demand.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, no, but anyway, so yeah, there is a lot of viewers, you know, on while watching it via TV and possibly watching it through a whole bunch of other means. So there
right.
is a good chance, there is a very good chance that the Disney executive said, listen, you are basically throwing money at us. Say what you want so long as, you know, you're not using these specific words, and probably just gave them the obvious words, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, don't drop the curse words, racial slurs, gender slurs, sexual slurs, anything like that. Slurs.
It's really funny because the last few are obvious, but the curse words are the one that Alex maybe would try to slip in slightly. Nothing too crazy, but just some, you know, because, and I say curse words in the sense that, like, you'll see, I don't think we've even heard, like, Mabel say, like, damn, you know? I don't believe. So, like, even a word like that, it's like, nope, you can't use that word, but then we get some other ones slipping in here. Like, you know, God, angels, God, angels,
dead,
with
death,
the angel
kill,
comes
death,
to,
dead, dead,
thank
dead,
you.
Dead, 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 dead.
Thank you. Right, and again, those words, I'm not saying that, you know, they are, they should be banned or anything, but they are. You know, I mean, you look at something like, as I mentioned before on the show, there's something called Sentai, Super Sentai, on one of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And Super Sentai is basically the original version of Power Rangers. You know, where Power Rangers, sorry everyone, if you didn't know, Power Rangers has been adapted from Japan. They take the footage. They make some new footage.
What?
They take the footage from Japan. There are some people that are like, wait a minute, what? Anywho, point
some
is,
people,
is that,
like me, what? When were you planning to tell me this?
Shut up. You know things. Anyway, but there was one series.
I know lots of things.
I know lots of things. There was one series called Tenso Sentai Ghost Ager, which I forgot the exact
name. Say that five times
fast. I've seen it. Yeah, oh, God. But anyway, basically the motif for angels. They're like aliens a bit in where they come from. They don't actually have an exact heaven. It's kind of like a world in itself. But in a way, it's, you know, they're angels. They're a motif in, you know, how they trade, like how certain series are cars or, you know, galactic beasts or whatever the hell. You know, this is angels. When they adapted here, it became Power Rangers Megaforce. So it was just, which again, say that five times, Power Rangers Megaforce, where it was just, oh yeah, let's just kind of make a nod to the original Power Rangers. Let's make them high school students, and let's just forget the whole angel thing for reasons. So you can see how just, I know it's different people adapting different things, but still you can see how it's just, oh, angels, let's just not really work with that. Even if they're the heroes, let's just not work with that, shall we? Where here it's just, they just have a lot being thrown out, which is very interesting.
Yeah, it's excuse me for a second. Sorry.
Don't
normally,
know.
We're kind of used to that with American television. And I'm not saying like I can sit here and be like, "Wow, they use death. That's so risque." But you know, we constantly talked about Gravity Falls being what we would regard as a family show, and recently this season, there have been a few more moments where you can even look at people who might be casual viewers and be like, see, hey, like in the Gulf War, we talked about the fact where they explicitly said, like, we thought the next best thing would be killing her. And then you look at the episode that aired on Monday night here with the real girl, and there was just a lot of, oh, your grandfather's in hell. And that wasn't explicit, but it was obviously implied. All the programmers were killed. That was implied. And hoo-ha, the owl is dead.
Yeah, just outwardly saying that was just, what? And even if you want to say, oh, but, you know, certain shows will imply things all the time, just the fact they said, oh, my God, which usually is, like, a word that really isn't, any kind of references to any religions are usually washed away, or at least not even put into any shows. So it's just very interesting how, you know, it was there, and it stuck out to me. But it made the scene really feel more real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I feel like a lot of the jokes, some of the jokes in this episode, and especially some of them that seemed like references to things that can actually happen, like people dying and things like that, really sat with me and made me think, you know what? It's not like this doesn't happen. You know what I mean? People die. Like, kids know that people, you know what I mean? Like, we have to stop looking at kids as if they're stupid. You know, as if we have to shield them from the world. I mean, kids can go watch Family Guy on Netflix because their parents don't know how to put locks on it.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at Seuss, who's obviously, as Abuelita mentions, you know, a middle-aged guy. And
right.
Middle-aged people, it's not completely out of the ordinary, sorry to break this to you, children, for your parents to die, let alone your grandparents. You know, people
right.
around our age,
right.
you and I, Matt, lose their grandparents around this time.
Right.
And
right.
yeah, so it makes sense. Like, you can sit there and just make it a point, like, hey, the grandfather's not around. Did something happen? Yes, he passed away. Okay. He may be in hell. Okay then.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you, Gravity Falls.
Also,
for making
we
that
have point. Ourselves a caller. I'd like to put him or her through. Hello, caller.
Is it from
winning,
hell?
Winning hearts by daylight. Possessing robots by moonlight. Her emotional baggage is a real fright. She is the one named Giffany.
How
do they have
Giffany.
Phone service in hell? I was joking.
What I really enjoyed, and what Daniel is referencing here, is at the end of the actual episode, there was one of the pictures of one of the animatronic animals, and it was just crazy because, of course, there was, you know, it looked weird, and there was always a code, just like every single episode, there's a code around it. And when you decode that code, you come up with that little phrase, and you hear it, and you think, wait a minute, that sounds a bit like, yes, it does sound a bit like, that is literally lifted from the original Sailor Moon opening, from the Deke, you know, dub opening. Which
Are
is
you
very...
Serious?
What?
Yes, I actually had to decode that. Like, I decoded it.
No. I know that's the code, but I mean, are you the Sailor Moon reference is serious?
Yes, it's
oh,
serious.
Oh, you didn't know? Yes, no, that's
that
serious.
That is incredible.
Dude,
That is.
Oh,
absolute...
I'm so sorry.
Look at Gibbity. She looks exactly like a sailor. Like a. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. She looks like a sailor Sentai.
All right. Well, sailor scout, but sailor Sentai works as well. I don't know. I mean, I don't think she looks exactly like one, but it's really funny how they were able to find something that they clearly saw, you know, when they were younger or at least in their teenage years. Because that's what's really cool. Where a lot of people working on these shows, while they're older than us, so like for me, Sailor Moon was on when I was a child. But for them, they were in their teenage years, which means they were around during that, you know, anime boom where they could, you know, they were old enough to be able to stay up a bit later to see anime, to, you know, see anime like Sailor Moon and kind of enjoy it and like it more than maybe I was able to, or at least see it more than I could. And they were also, you know, do the whole like training anime VHS tapes, which had subtitles on them. So it was a very interesting time for a lot of the people that, you know, are now currently nerds that are working on this show. Because I don't know if you guys know. I believe Physician knows because, you know, he and I have talked about this. But I don't know if you know, Daniel. And many of our viewers might not know. Back in the day, right, before the internet, fan subs were actually traded via VHS tape. And it would be crazy. Where it's just like, I want to see this new show, Evangelion. It's like, well, good for you. Here's the last two episodes. Awesome. Hopefully one day I'll be able to trade for the first two.
Wow.
That's how it was. Yes, you had to trade VHS tapes. And it was nuts. You know, dubs, I mean, of course they happened, but most of the time they were either butchered or, you know, they were just bad. So it's really interesting where it's just like, yes, fans subtitled the tapes from the Japanese tapes or whatever bootlegs they could find onto these bootlegs and then traded them around. Sometimes they were purchasing, but most of the time it was trading for your tapes, which just, all right, I have this show. Awesome, I have this show. Trade? Hell yeah.
Sounds,
you know, it's
that,
crazy. Yeah.
That sounds
so
good.
Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy. But anyway, very happy that Daniel brought that up. So, Daniel, do you want to weigh in on how this episode felt to you? Did you feel like this is a very kid-centered episode?
This episode made me laugh so hard. I had to watch it in the library, and I almost got kicked out for laughing so hard.
I can see that. And then when you left, you didn't turn around, but, you know, Giffany was staring at you.
Like snap.
She was equally as threatening and, like, scary as she was humorous as a character. Like, some of her reactions and just, like, one of my favorites was the thing where after Seuss, you know, left the room to go to Melody's date, and
right.
You just see, like, the warped version of her coming through the static with, like, one eye.
Yeah, she's
and,
like...
Oh, my God, dude.
You know,
that was, like,
that's
awesome.
One of the... Yeah, no, it's one of the reasons how you know that these people, you know what they're doing, because that's easily just a Japanese horror reference right there, or even horror anime, just any kind of anime where you just see the, you know, the, it's like, oh God, she's being scary and creepy. I mean, Higurashi, Elfin Lied, things like that, and you just see that one eye, and you're like, oh, good God. Or, of course,
yeah.
If anything,
and, like,
you know.
When she said, like, when she finds Seuss again, he's like, you paused me?
I loved that. And just a look on her face, and I was like, oh, my God, she has gained sentience. As soon as...
Yeah,
she's been sentient. I think
yeah,
she's
no,
been
I love this. I kind of, you know, she gained sentience, and I was like, what? It's okay. I like your choice of words here. This makes sense.
Yeah, Seuss is a lot smarter than we think. But I love him because he's also than we think.
Yeah.
It's great. It's just this lovely mix of just, you know...
You know, I think I actually relate with Seuss a lot more than I ever do the other characters.
Do you want a copy of Romance Academy?
Huh?
Do you want a copy of Romance Academy?
No, I do not.
No, because honestly, Daniel, when the cherry blossom trees are in bloom at the school, at School Academy, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. I'm sorry, can happen. I was going to bring that up. Yeah, no, that's just another situation where you can tell that these people just, again, know what they're doing. Because as a guy here who knows a bit about fan subs, you know, I know how that can happen. Not that bad, usually, hopefully, but still, some pretty wacky stuff. And you sit there and you're like, how did that happen? It's because when you work on something so long, sadly, it sticks in your brain. as the right way. Like, your brain, as I'm sure you know if you've seen some of the pictures that involve, like, mixed up words, and it says you could actually read this because your brain changes things. It can happen with fan subtitles as well. So it's very interesting how, even though this wasn't a fan thing, it was an official thing, even official things can have mistakes. So it was still very funny how either way, though, they wanted to kind of tap into that. And to anyone who, you know, who knows the genre, it makes so much sense. And then for the kids, they're just laughing because Seuss repeated it.
Yeah.
Which was my example of, he is stupider than we think, but at the same time, uses words like sentience because he's watched Terminator.
Yeah, and multiple zombie films.
Yeah, because he's watched every zombie film known to man.
Right.
Yes. Which, by the way, also, speaking of the whole Terminator thing, if you noticed, Tiffany had an actual, like, Terminator hut when she looked at them, when she looked at Seuss, Dipper, and Mabel, and it was great.
Yep.
Yeah, she did. She also had, like, a computer connection for earrings or hair extensions.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, I noticed that. That's funny.
We also saw Rumble McSkirmish.
And
Rumble,
the last of Rumble McSkirmish, apparently. He's dead now.
I'm sure there's other versions of him out there.
Nope, that was it.
I think that would be great, wouldn't it? Where it's just like, you know, somehow maybe the next season, 8 different versions of Rumble McSkirmish. I was released for this game.
Scuba Rumble McSkirmish from Fight Fighter 64.
Oh, God, that was one of the best references to me, where Seuss is just sitting there, right? He's sitting in the back of the game store, just sitting there waiting, you know, like, oh, doll, you know, this is bad. And all of a sudden you just see with the, you know, the game consoles, you see Fight Fighter 64 and Nort. And I sit there and I'm like, this is wonderful. Because, of course, if anyone doesn't know, you know, there's a Nintendo 64. And for a while, many of the games there were just added on 64. Just Mario Kart 64. Super Mario 64. Everything. So it was just really fun, where it was just like, I see what you did there. I see it.
Yeah, the third game was also Virtual Owl Troll, which still makes me laugh, by the way. Because I don't know if you remember the Owl Troll commercials. Just like, got a problem with those owls in your driveway? Well, you got to get Owl Troll.
Thank you.
Virtual Owl Troll popped up again in the arcade, too, which made me really laugh.
That's the thing. I didn't know what it was. I knew it was a reference to something that I didn't remember, but of course I saw it in the arcade and as a console version.
Yes.
Which is great. Although I have to admit, I think my favorite game that I'm a really big fan of that just appeared is First Person Puncher.
First Person Puncher.
Just because you see Seuss playing it on a console, you know, on a game system, and then later on when Stan walks in to the, you know, to the Chuck E. Cheese type place, you see it, you know, as an actual arcade game.
Yeah, that's
it. Was just so wonderful, you know. And of course, in the arcade game, you only see 2 joysticks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how that game would work, like First Person Adventure.
It seems
pretty straightforward.
So I have to admit, though, it seems a lot harder on the console. I know it's just 2 buttons, but for some reason that seems harder to me than just moving the joysticks while pushing, like, a button. For some reason that seems easier to me, because it's like, I am actually punching. Like, for some reason, when Seuss was playing it and it was on a console, I thought he was going to be punching it like the Wii or something. But it was very interesting that he had, like, a very straightforward controller. That was really oversimplified.
For his computer, by the way. His password is fixing it 1.
Is what?
Fixing it 1.
Yes, as is his password.
That's his password for his computer. When you look back at the scenes, Matt, the little post-it attached to the bottom right of his computer says password, fixing it 1.
Oh, fixing it. I heard sixing it. I was like, what?
No, fixing it. Just like, you know, fixing it with Seuss.
That's beautiful.
Did you know that on the third option on the Romance Academy screen, it says she's in haka, which is Japanese for spontaneous combustion.
Yes, actually, I'm happy you caught that. I looked it up myself, and it was very interesting.
Since you're catching things, Daniel, let's test you. Did you see the appearance of the agents in this episode?
Yes, they were in the mall.
Damn, he's good. He's Seuss.
How are kids not catching him, though?
He's seen every Gravity Falls post known to man.
No, she's like, he's a low-rent sleuth. No, he's a poor man's sleuth.
Did you just call Daniel a poor man's sleuth?
Yes.
Wow. Thanks, Matt. I know where you live.
No, you don't, I hope.
Well, I know the area, but...
All right, now I'm even more concerned. Daniel, I think you've had your time here, and I think
Daniel's gained sentience.
I think Daniel gained sentience. But Daniel, no. Of course, Daniel, we're happy that you called. We're always happy that you called. We're always happy that you're listening in. We're going to take you off of the listening list now. Of course, we wanted to keep you on. But if not, don't worry. We can just take you right off, and you can listen via your computer. So take you off or keep you on?
Keep me on.
All right, I'll keep you on.
That's good, Daniel, because the only way out was on our podcast.
Not Daniel should never leave us. Daniel will never leave us. Daniel promised that he'd listen in.
Sort of a red flag, dude, but okay.
That was great, I think. Just, you know, sort of a red flag, you know, like, well, I mean, it's pretty cool, but sort of a red flag. It's still pretty cool. And I was like, why? Also, by the way, jumping back, because, you know, we usually talk about it in order, but we kind of jumped around. But jumping back to the beginning of the episode, I just want to mention, oh, my God, the pan for gold machine.
Mm-hmm.
Why was that so scary? Like, why? Again, a sensor thing, where it's just, so you're telling me the blood can be black because it's oil.
And no, I laughed because I figured, okay, this machine isn't going to work. I did not expect like this horrible, like I sat there, I was like, dude, that messes with me. And I'm about to turn 21. Like,
I know, as a 22-year-old man, that was frightening. I have to be honest. And there was just a lot to that. Again, like you mentioned, didn't expect it coming because, of course, they set it up like, this is not going to work. And then that happens. And it's really interesting because, again, I'm sure sensors are just like, because it's not, you know, it's not blood, it's not red, so it's not creepy. I don't care what you tell me. That was creepier than blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will admit, blood coming from his eyes could be an issue. But still, the fact that it's, like, this makes me not trust sensors because they just look at the simplest little tiny things. Like, oh, well, if there's no blood, it's perfect. I'm sorry, FCC. If there's liquid, especially black liquid, that color specifically, coming out of, because if it was green, it'd be like, oh, like mucus, it probably wouldn't be as bad. It'd be weird, but, you know, the whole, like, SpongeBob thing where it's like, and the walls will ooze green slime. You know, it's kind of like that, where it's like, oh, green, you know, slime. I think Lodian had that whole sliming thing going on, still does. So it's like, oh, green. Black, though, coming from eyes, it's like, eyes that already popped out.
And I'm speaking just there. Of Goldie, though, his involvement later in the episode and with the credits was absolutely great, don't you think?
Well, before even the credits, I think it was so cute that he saved Stan. That was really cute. And then
that
the
was
credits,
cute?
Which it was cute because of the fact that it feels like, okay, it's like how I feel like some people like go like, oh, this is an old thing, I must throw it away. You know, I must get the new thing. And it shows that, you know what, even if the old thing is like old and broken down, you know, you still care for it. And in a way, it cares for you. Because it saves Stan.
Yeah, I guess in some dimension that you're wrong in all dimensions. That's not cute. Although that was a really, really fun scene, I'll give you that, because I really became intimidated by the giant mechanical badger that was resistant to Stan's power.
Yeah, no, the giant mechanical badger was frightening because of the fact that Stan, while being old, is a boxer. And the fact that his punches literally did nothing, because, of course, mechanical, but still did nothing, was just the simple, like, it just made me sit there and go, all right, who's going to appear right now? Because if not, Stan's going to die. And I just think it was nice. Like, it feels like, hey, look, you know, the machine saves the day. And it's the older machine that, you know, people are just like, throw that away. It's like, nope, it can still do something. It can save Stan. I'm sorry, but while that is extremely a weird take on it, I still defend my take on it.
Oh, speaking of, too, Good to see you again, old friends. No more Colombian Nights.
Yeah, what the hell was that? I looked up Colombian Nights. I got nothing from it other than a restaurant. What the hell was that?
Stands for Nights in a Colombian Prison.
Okay, I forgot about that.
This is referenced earlier in the series.
No, I remember it was just the, are you referring to the, wait, no. No, that wasn't the one where Mabel referenced it when they were in prison. It wasn't that.
No, not that. It's referenced twice. Once is a throwaway line where he says, like, he spent nights in a Colombian prison. And also, think back to Dreamscaperers when they're looking into his past. And there's actually a scene with him sitting in jail with Spanish guys.
Right, I remember that. You see, that's what's really interesting, where this show, it doesn't do the Reggie thing, but then it throws out 8 other things that people will forget.
Yeah, like, I thought the Colombian Nights line killed me, where I was just laughing uncontrollably.
Yeah, no, that was perfect. Though I have to be honest, the only line that made me, I mean, there were many lines that made me die. But the one line that I have to say is the best in this episode, and I think it's because it resonates with me as a Hispanic, is just, you know, Sus is abuelita, just, Sus is my soap opera. I lost it. As a man who has a grandmother and a mother who watch novelas, which, if you don't know, are Spanish soap operas.
I watch Reina de Corazones.
That's, I'm sure my grandmother's watching that. It's wonderful, and that line made me laugh way too hard because it was just beautiful. And of course, you mentioned the gold, you know, penning for gold machine. Yeah, at the end, you know, I just like, they're going to Vegas, and I was like, oh, that's funny. You know, they have a resolution. Ending credits come up; they're actually in Vegas. And then I hear a rap song, which completely threw me off. And then it hits me. This is a Hangover reference.
Yeah, no,
and then
I think
I'm completely thrown off my game.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I'm completely thrown off my game. I'm just like, I don't understand what's going on here.
Yeah, in terms of, like, where are they able to go with these references? Who are they really targeting? I totally get you.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, again, I don't want to, you know, talk all like, oh, well, it's obviously us. This is why we watch this show, because it's so mature. Because, no, in no way do I think, like, this is mature television. You know, no, like, just the same way that True Blood isn't mature just because they're naked. You know what I mean? But it's the fact that
they're
just
naked on True Blood?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
They're naked on True Blood. They're naked on Game of Thrones. And, again, that's why they're so, you know, they're so for adults. You know what I mean? Look at the naked. You know? Not the only reason, but I feel like a lot of people just put those on, like, really adult pedestals, where it's like, see, this is adult. Gravity Falls is not. And again, not saying Gravity Falls is, but they put it on that pedestal where it's like, Gravity Falls is less than. Like, because it's not naked people? Yes. You know? Anyway, point is that it was Gravity Falls. And it's something that, you know, I feel like has been elevated from, like, oh, it's just some stupid kid show. Oh, this is a show that, you know, you can watch with, you know, like, a family. Like, if, you know, if I'm there in the room with my little brother or little sister or something, into, all right, I'm watching this on my own. Screw my family.
Yeah, because it's becoming a little bit too adult. Not in a bad
it's
way.
Weird.
But,
no.
You know.
Yeah, and it might just be this one-off episode. You know, we'll see more with the next episode. But as of right, because even something like Gulf Wars, it said, you know, of course the word kill was in there, but nothing about it really screamed, like, the kids won't get this, because, you know, mini golf is a thing for kids. So, you know, there's a chance that it could still work. Of course there were jokes for us in there, but it still works for kids. This episode was just completely just out there. I feel.
Yeah, no, it was, and it definitely mentioned, like, it caters to people like us who understand the fun in a Japanese, like, romance, like, sim. And,
it's,
you know,
really funny.
I think most of us have either played one or know somebody who have played one.
Well, we both know someone who's played one. I've never played one, but I have to admit, yeah, multiple, but I have to admit, after seeing it on here and after seeing it on a show called Tokyo Encounter, which is a really fun show, it's a Japanese show where two voice actors play video games, and just, you know, like, they'll do voiceovers for video games that don't have any voice acting. Anyway, it's very funny because I saw one of the guys play a dating sim on there for the PS2, and after seeing him play it, and then seeing Suits play it, I sit there and I go, maybe I want to try one. I don't know, because I've never, like, it's a game that I've
you
never...
You want to
like,
die
experience.
A sentient death?
I think so.
For what it's worth, I think my favorite one offline in the episode, for some reason that made me laugh, was, dude, take it from someone who's brought an arcade character back to life before. This is not going to end well.
Yes. I didn't laugh hard, but I really appreciated it. I was just like, yes, this is good that he's referencing this. I'm really happy because we saw the references. But I do admit, if he didn't reference it, it'd be really silly. We're just like,
yeah,
this is actually happening.
Like, this did happen. Just, you know, completely different circumstances, but it is still the same logic.
Pretty much. And it was just really fun where, you know, but also, did you notice, speaking of things that people noticed, did you notice in the beginning what magazine Wendy was reading?
Avoiding Eye Contact Monthly?
Yes, and pictures of guys who look just like Robbie on it, avoiding eye contact.
That explains a lot.
And then, of course, we see Seuss giving eye contact.
Eye contact!
Which was just great. I love Seuss's utter way of being creepy, but in some ways, you don't notice the creepy, but the woman notices it immediately. Where it's like he comes out of the shirt rack, and again, it's not that creepy at first, but just everything combined with it, where his sentence structure, where he came out of.
Your face is nice. I'm a Seuss.
Immediately,
what?
just screaming bloody murder as she runs out of the store.
Right, exactly. That's not.
Oh, my God. And, of course, his flirting later was great, where, you know, he sees he's in front of Edgy on purpose. Which,
oh, that was one of the better ones.
That was the best one, where it feels, okay, like some shows, and I know
that,
you know, every
to
show...
Build-A-Beaver.
Right. Some shows try hard to, like, you know, when they do three jokes in a row, it's like the third will be the funniest. And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. In this case, the third out of the three, like, oh, I'm hitting on women, was the funniest. I mean, the fact that Edgy on purpose is obviously Hot Topic. And I didn't notice what was in the background.
Reddit.
You mentioned that you saw it on Reddit.
Yeah.
Tell everyone.
Yeah, so one of the funny things is if you look at the Edgy on purpose scene where you're peering into the store, you can see a lot of clothes that have, like, that symbol that Robbie has on his shirt, the heart with it stitched up. But you can also see a detective shirt. And you can sit there and think, why is that there? Well, if you know Hot Topic in real life, they also sell pop culture. So it's actually a very well-read reference.
Exactly. Like, I wonder, like, you know, I really want to just be a fly on the wall when they create these episodes. Because it feels as if, you know, there's just a lot of talent, a lot of raw talent being thrown into, you know, into the well and of this, you know, of the scripts. And, of course, not everything gets picked up for a full, you know, because, I mean, if you look at that detective thing, that was such a quick joke. So that was probably just something someone mentioned, like, oh, what would be in the store? And immediately it's just like, you know, broken hearts, black clothes, detective shirt. What? Well, I mean, think about it. It's pretty mainstream where they're from, right? You know, and then immediately just putting it in there just for half a second. But it's still there.
I think it's a fun. I thought that was a great little subtle joke. There was a lot of also, like, little subtle things in this episode that made me laugh. Like, when Melody is going on the date with Seuss, like, she's like, itchy legs, which is like, oh, obviously she shaved because she wanted to look nice for Seuss.
And it's just something real. It's subtle, but it also feels real. And I like that this show does a lot of things. And it's really funny how it's like, this show, it does a lot of things that are real. The animatronic things came to life. Okay, certain things that are real, right? But, you know, usually when it comes to characters, very, very real situations. Like that, like you mentioned, yeah, itchy legs. Also, the real situation, which, again, is so true, especially when you're either standing in front of an edgy on purpose store or if you're dealing with an anime. Just, so you're a girl, right? Or not, or wrong. Wait, no, I was right the first time. Or was I? Or wrong. And it's, which is so accurate, where it's just like, you know what? Yeah, sometimes you're walking around and you're just like, you are a male, right? You know, you're a male, so I should not be looking, you know, for you if I am another heterosexual male. Unless you might not be. Or are you? It was a really fun scene for me. Because it just, again, another situation that does happen. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I really thought it was amusing. And it's just so many things in this episode that were really, really entertaining.
Did you notice the game called Life Avoider?
Life Avoider?
There was a game, it was an arcade game.
That's great.
And it was called Life Avoider.
I did not see that.
No, it's wonderful. And, of course, Wayne Badger, in my opinion, is a lot cooler than Chucky. Because, of course, you know, the Wayne Badger, that whole, the hoo-ha, you know, of course, it's meant to be like Chuck E. Cheese. Wayne Badger is a lot cooler than Chucky. Like, I would love to have Wayne Badger, like, that whole, like, rock and roll thing. Because, I don't know, like, Chucky, something about him is like, yeah, I do rock and roll, but, you know, very soft, you know, it's like, no, I want, like, my name's Wayne Badger. I was like, oh, I enjoy you, Wayne.
Mm.
Also, Beebly Boop's video game was just that was beautiful. It's really funny. This episode that was supposed to be 30 minutes took me about maybe 45 minutes to about 50. So of course, I always take notes, but I had to pause and just look at the references. Pac-Man, Punch-Out, Mario, and Frogger.
Mm-hmm. No, it
and
was
of course,
just
yeah.
This one episode. You can really sit there and understand if there was a large break. Because filler or not, there was obviously a lot of work put into not only the script, but all the minor things.
Exactly. Also, you know, the year 2000 thing, I remember a lot of older video games having, like, kind of, like, interactive, you know, like, kind of screens like that. I believe even saying 2000. So it's really funny where Zeus is just like, oh, wow, I can't wait till it's the year 2000. Like, Zeus, Zeus?
Mm-hmm.
What would be very interesting, actually, if this show never had any references to, like, cell phones or any, like, rather, like, you know, glaring, like, new technology. And it would be very interesting if this show was older and we didn't notice.
That's scary.
And I only bring this up because you look at a new show like Gotham, right, which, by the way, Decent series premiere. I had a few inconsistencies, I feel. But still, the characters were written very well. And the stories were crafted very well. But my point is that other than one throwaway line where Gordon's girlfriend is looking for him and his partner, Detective Bullock, or not Detective, but Officer Bullock, says, oh, maybe his phone is out of juice. Right? Other than that one line, which you think, oh, cell phones exist. Other than that one line, there were no references. Most of the cars looked a little bit older. They didn't wear anything that was, in my opinion, outwardly like, this came out last year, you know? A lot of it felt like it was kind of like an old school, kind of like detective, you know, 19, I'll say 20s exactly, but it really felt older, you know? They didn't have, like, let me take out my iPhone. Oh, let's go on this computer, right? A lot of it felt like we're in the past, kind of, you know, a very nice kind of situation. So it would be funny if, you know, even though they've shown certain cell phones and stuff, which stinks, but if they hadn't, how cool would it be? The show was always set in the 90s. That was the plot twist. Ha ha.
That, it would be interesting. But, I mean, I guess I'm enjoying, you know, I'm enjoying what we see is what we get part of it.
Yes.
Because there's so much that's already hidden. You know, that we don't know
right yet.
I mean, we look at things that we don't talk about as much anymore because we're letting the series progress. Like, take a look at the wheel, you know, Bill Cipher's wheel of symbols. And
right, usually
he refers to people by symbols, and we sit there, and it's like, well, we haven't thought about it in a while. But it's interesting, you know?
Yeah, no,
because
it is.
Because we still don't know who all the symbols are on that wheel.
No. And another interesting thing, very interesting thing, is the fact that of all the choices for the dating sim, one of them was, hey, look, a squid.
Oh, that was fun.
I think that was the only one where I go, all right, listen, this is fucking wrong. I don't care what you say about subtle, you know, references the kids won't get. That is wrong.
That's not wrong at all.
That's completely wrong. And
it was followed up by, her dad is an octopus man.
It wasn't followed up. It was brought up a bit later.
No, but like later on,
that,
like
it's
just
still
like
bad.
The hentai references are through the roof, and I love that.
Well, it's not a hentai necessarily, more than the old school kind of the erotic drawings.
Yeah,
I'm sure you know about the famous one. No, I don't know, because you know what I mean. When I think hentai, I'm just like thinking of the kind of you know.
Yes.
Yes, but still, I understand what you mean. And of course, yes, if anyone doesn't know, there's a very famous old school, and I say old school, like, you know, like very older, you know, when you think of like feudal Japan and stuff, drawing. And it depicted an octopus making love to a woman.
Hooray!
And if you think that's messed up, join everyone else who's heard of this. But anyway, the point is again, that being referenced, because, you know, of course, like many other things, I believe like Simpsons and Family Guy have also made, you know, jokes about that in the sense that I think, like, what was it? I believe, like, what is it? Like, I think Peter was watching an anime or something from Family Guy. And he was just, and he didn't see the anime, but he sat there and he was like, why is everyone in Japan a 14-year-old girl or a monster or something like that? And then collapses. He was drunk. Yeah, so it's really interesting where it's just, you know, you see this. And not only is it a dating sim that involves high schoolers, which is also a very common one if you didn't know. It's just, hey, look, a squid. Also,
Yes. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, did you notice the poster for the horse movie in Seuss's room?
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a brony poster in his room.
Not the brony, it was the horse one.
No, but there was
a reference
to the horses from before that were at the movie theater when
Warhorse,
they were
believe,
there.
Wasn't it?
But I mean, that original thing in my head is a reference to bronies, so I just, you know.
Fair enough.
Or My Little Pony, rather.
For some reason, I forgot what the movie was called, but now I just called it Warhorse, and I was like, that's silly. But I believe there were actually horses at war.
Yes,
if I remember that. So it's Warhorse.
Basically.
But anyway, I got you on one thing. You didn't know who the guest star was for this episode.
That's correct. I did not.
Neither did Daniel.
Did the last episode have one?
I was unable to check that. I don't think it did.
And I think that's why
I don't believe it did.
Yeah, because you asked me if the, what's his name? Gabe was a guest star. And then I told you, no, he was actually a new staffer. So I sat
there and I thought maybe
they've exhausted their guest stars. So I didn't think
of
it this episode. And you found one because of you watching the other show that he does.
Right.
So you
were convincing. Before I mention the guest, I want to mention, Gabe is technically a guest in such that he isn't a Gravity Falls regular, so technically he's a guest, he's just not a guest of what we think, where it's just to us, it was like, oh, he's just some Disney guy. But to them, that's a guest.
Right, so that does count.
That they can promote. Yeah, so they can promote. But for us, we're more like, who isn't usually on Disney that's doing stuff? And in this case, it was Paul Scheer, who, if you don't know, he's from many things, and sadly I can't name them all, but I can name the one that I know the best, that I actually enjoy, and you should enjoy too, even though you might think it's very stupid. He is the main character, Trent Hauser, on NTSF SDSUV, which you may have noticed from the Adult Swim lineup.
He is as stupid as it sounds, but that's not a bad thing.
No. It's basically a parody on all these, like, NCS-type shows. You know, every single time Trent Hauser, you know, the character that Paul Scheer plays, gets the chance, he always makes a pun or some kind of joke while taking off his sunglasses. So, and of course, they always have to mention that they're in San Diego, by the way. Always.
I see.
Mark Hamill was a dolphin on that show.
He was also on Gravity Falls. 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. But it's also really funny because when you think about it, too, Gravity Falls could have had a chance of being on Cartoon Network, which I'm not saying it would have been on Adult Swim because that's really, really bad, but it could have been a really fun lead-in, I think, where, like, on Saturdays, where it's just like, oh, Adult Swim starts at 9, put it on at 8. You know, put it on at 8:30.
Yeah,
it would have been very interesting.
That's funny. But, yeah, so he was the guest voice actor for this episode, and he played Gary.
Yes, Gary, who is the guy who kept on, you know, he said to Stan, no, you can't have this, you know, you can't have the badger, and who also basically, and I noticed it was him because at one point before he kissed the badger, he said something like, oh, I wish I could love you, or something like that, and he did that voice that he does as Trent Hauser when he's being very, like, gruff and, like, manly, and I said, that sounds like that guy, and I looked it up, and yes, Paul Scheer, which is hilarious.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that was their guest. And it's really interesting because at first I knew it was a voice that I knew. But again, it didn't hit me. I was like, maybe not. You know what I mean? Because again, it was just, he wasn't a huge guest, but he had enough lines where it's just, see, that was our guest. Because of course, Giffany was the main character who, as far as I know, wasn't a guest.
No, I don't believe so. But I don't know exactly who was Giffany this episode.
Let's find out who is the voice. Jessica D-I-D-C-C-H-O? It's hard to say because it's D-I-C-I-C-C-O. She must have had a lot of fun in elementary school. But anyway.
That's mean.
No,
that's my
true.
Kind of a line.
No, because it's one of the situations which it's so hard to pronounce that it also reminds me of that Key and Peele sketch, another great show that you should see, where one of the I believe it was Keegan, yes, Keegan played a teacher who was an African American teacher who apparently is very used to saying names that are a bit more outlandish. So he's saying names in a very predominantly white classroom. They're saying things like Aaron. It's like, actually, it's pronounced Aaron. Shut the hell up, Aaron.
Also, she is Jessica's Flame Princess and Tambri. Flame Princess on Adventure Time and Tambri on, of course, Gravity Falls. Just for fun.
That's very interesting. Yes, I was trying to open it myself, but sadly my internet is trying to fail me. That's very nice. Good to know. But so she wasn't really a guest.
She's not a guest, she's Tambri.
How funny would it have been, and I feel like they tried to get her, but maybe they couldn't, if they had gotten Wendy Lee, she's been in a lot of things.
You know who I was hoping for? I don't know if you're a big Portal fan, but I was hoping that they got the person who voiced GLaDOS.
I don't know her actual, do you know the voice actress's name?
Give me a minute, I can confirm it.
We'll give you a minute while I'm talking. Of course, I'm fangasming over things. I like the idea, right? And it's something that I don't know about you, but I didn't notice it first. But I noticed it the second that, I can't believe I forgot her name.
Ellen McLean.
The woman that Seuss,
sorry. But yeah, go
okay,
on.
The woman that Seuss took out on a date.
Melody?
Yes, Melody. When Seuss is like, oh, don't worry, Dipper and Layla will protect you. And, of course, to us, they're like, yes, they've been through a lot. Of course they're going to protect her. And she goes, Seuss, they're children.
Yeah,
and
it's
it really
funny.
Hits us.
Because they are children.
No, it's just really funny. We're just like, you know what? To any outsider, yeah, they're children.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by the way, the fact that, you know, again, and I mentioned this earlier, you know, the idea of just, oh, yeah, you know, is this show meant for children? But your face like pizza. When the bear said that, I didn't know how to feel. And also it made me think, I want to get someone high, or rather they will be high. Maybe I should know someone who is high on something that we shouldn't talk about on the show because no one is talking about that on the show. But the point is that I want to show them this episode. And then when they are normal, right, when they are down from whatever it is they decided, that I did not get my hands involved in, I want to tell them that the episode never happened and try to find ways to delete it from the internet so that when they go, no, that episode of Gravity Falls, when the bear, he was saying he wanted to eat the kid's face like pizza. I don't know what you're talking about, man. I have no idea what you're referring to, and I think you might need help. Because this episode was very, very, very out there in terms of, let's see what we can do. Where I will admit, this episode, right, and I know this might sound crazy, but this is an episode I could see on Adult Swim. Of course, sadly, there would be a lot of other things that would have to be added, like curses or really dumb things, I feel, that have to make it adult, you know. But in this case, there was just certain lines where I'm like, that's a line that Adult Swim would want to play, you know, at like 3 a.m. to make people who are stoned, who are on drugs, because, you know, apparently there's word going around for a while now that's most of Adult Swim's fan base at that time, people who are on some kind of drug or who are drunk and are just watching Adult Swim. Point is that feels like a line that Adult Swim would play at 3 in the morning in one of their bumpers to freak you out.
Right.
Which is, again, just it was really just, I don't understand why. How?
Because as we're wrapping up here, I want to get your opinion on something before we have to run out of time. One of the things I didn't like about this episode, and it wasn't much, but Wendy's not caring persona and the whole, like, this is too stupid for me to care about, was a bit off for me. It didn't jive with me because I sat there and thought, that doesn't seem like the Wendy I'm used to. Not that she would be the most sympathetic character, but it kind of bothered me that she was just like, this is too stupid for me to care about. Did it bother you at all? Or...
I mean, I didn't really everything else in the episode got me to the point where that didn't hit me, but now that you mention it, I think they just had to find a way to not have another person, because, you know, you have another person on the team, and that's a whole other person to write for the episode. So I think they just tried to find a way to just write her off in a way that would just be, also, she seemed very creeped out by Seuss. So maybe it's the idea where it's just like, I don't know if I should, because here's the thing, ready? She likes Dipper and Mabel, but I'm not saying she doesn't like Seuss either, because, you know, she's like, yeah, Seuss, bro, but I think maybe this isn't her expertise either, where it's just like, oh, yeah, we're going to help Seuss find a date. And she's like, okay, you two kids do that, I guess, you know, because maybe this is not her area. This is not where she's good. I don't know exactly. Maybe she also thought nothing, you know, she also seems very up for, like, crazy adventures.
But not like something like that. So I suppose, I can get it. It just kind of was weird for me because I'm like, huh?
No, it makes sense.
It's not really her thing.
Yeah, no, it didn't pop into my head because of all the other awesome things. But now that you bring it up, yeah, you know, that was a pretty big thing to not, you know, for her not to just be involved at all. But I mean, I guess it's because, you know, usually it's just, hey, we're gonna help Seuss find a date, right? In the woods, we're camping. Fuck yeah, you know, like she'd be like, yeah. But the fact that it was just going to the mall, where I feel like some teenagers, you know, some are just like, yeah, man, the mall, you know, woo-hoo. But for her, she seems very, you know, a bit anti-establishment, anti-corporation.
She's an outdoors person. I mean, you know that she grew up as part of these, you know, the, what's her father? Lumberjacks. There we go.
Yes,
she grew
up
the Lumberjack games.
So while she might like a guy like Robbie, she wouldn't shop at, you know, the
Edgy on purpose. Right.
Right, right. But also, before we have to wrap up really quick, before we do, I thought the ending was very cute. You know, it's nice that Seuss can get Melly to go to the engagement. They can still do a long-distance relationship that doesn't work for everyone, but it does work for some people. And it shows that if you think, you know, maybe, well, you know, like if you're young or younger, you know, that even in that teenage year, where you're like, oh, I'm going to be like, you know, for life, I'm going to be this, you know, I'm going to be a loser, I'm going to be blah, blah, blah. No, like you can actually, you know, date someone over the internet, and it works. Not for everyone. People that have made it work and do think that it can work.
Yeah. And that's good.
Yeah.
You know, Melody, also one thing that I did like about Melody is that she's a bit heavier set like Seuss, too. You know, she's not a stick. And I like that. It just kind of made me smile, where I was like, that's kind of nice.
Also, she's from Portland, Oregon, which is really funny because a lot of people say it's a very cool place to live and really cool people come from there.
I'm down
which is
with
really
that.
Funny. Yes. Anyway, before we have to wrap up, but I'd like to say thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Remember that we have ourselves a Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. We also have merchandise on there. You can buy through us, through Amazon, Right Stuff, www.shop.com, Yes Asia even that we're updating. And, of course, you mentioned Sailor Moon tonight. Make sure to check back tomorrow because we will have new Sailor Moon merchandise on our website because if you don't know, there's a new Sailor Moon dub coming out from Funimation. Based on the new anime series that's currently coming out that is on, I believe, Hulu, YouTube, and a bunch of other websites legally, which you should definitely check out. So we have our website. We also have our Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or you can search up Those Guys, where, you know, you see not just on our website, but you also see some of our, you know, new episodes through Facebook as well. You can like us there. You can also follow us on Twitter, Those Guys Radio, or is it still Bush? The name might be Bush Vanderbush, everyone, but
it is.
Where Those Guys Radio, right?
It is us.
You can look us there, and we have our new episodes on there. We also have a lot of funny cat pictures, and of course our Gmail, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, which you can also send us advertising opportunities there that are legal for legal products or legal companies, and you can also send us show ideas. If you think, oh, maybe we can do an idea on this show, you can send it through our email or through our Tumblr, which has a suggest show ideas tab. And, of course, follow us on Tumblr? If you have a Tumblr yourself.
Yeah, follow us on Tumblr, follow us on Twitter, and like us on Facebook. And before Matt does his initial like cutoff thing, I just want to make a mention. Two of our very faithful listeners, two of my best friends, Ashley and Blaine, one lives here, one in Florida, today is both of their birthdays. And I just
happy collective
to give a quick
birthday.
Yeah, collective birthday. Blaine turns, I think, 12 today, and Ashley turns 18. So, you know, thank you for listening, and just wanted to make sure we give a little birthday shout-out to two people. Blaine, who may actually help us with graphics.
Happy birthday to you.
The fact that we still have that on command.
I'm so happy. I'm so excited.
I'm so glad we never delete anything now. That
we
moment
don't.
Made everything worth it. Just when we sat there, why don't we ever delete anything? That. That is exactly the moment why.
And thank you guys and gals for listening in. Have a good night.